Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thank you once again for tuning in. I am Brian Gonzalez, joined today by the Commissioner Drew Thomas. You're listening to another episode of All That Jazz. Today is the 27th of July, but you'll be listening to this on the 28th. We wanted to get another podcast out this summer as we enter the dead zone of really not much happening, but there's a little bit of jazz news that we can talk about. You can look forward to us going over jazz hype, the Rudy Gobert contract slash Olympics. But first, we want to start off with Drew's boy, Rodney Hood, who just got back from the USA select team and what his future is looking like. He's going into his third year. Drew, what do you think of Rodney Hood and his prospects going into the 2016-17 season?
Well, needless to say, I'm super excited about it. Rodney Hood's my boy, dude. I've been watching that kid forever, man, and he's just so good, dude. That kid is going to be a stud, and I just love the fact that he was able to go and prep with just some of the best, man, and get Team USA going, even though they're going to pretty much trounce everybody. But he's still got to go and work out with those teams and kind of get that confidence that he belongs there and that he's, you know, one of the promising young players in the league. I think that's awesome. Saying that, though, I do think that there's still some improvement that he needs. Just like defensively, he needs to become a better defensive player. I mean, he's a great shooter, but I think he was shooting – what was he shooting? I think they said he was barely shooting over like 40% or something. Let me double check. But yeah, I think there's still some stuff that he can improve, but I really think that this is kind of a big year for him going into year three. You know, he needs to make that step, and he needs to prove to people that he can be that kind of go-to player that I think he can be, dude. I mean, the guy's just smooth as silk. When you watch that fool play, man, oh my gosh, that guy's a baller. Yeah, he shot 42% last year from the field, which is, I mean, it was only his second year. But I definitely think that he can boost that up and get better. And yeah, dude, just going into year three, I think he is definitely going to improve. But what we saw is just so promising from last year. He started getting that confidence. I can't remember what game it was. Do you remember that game where he shot a game winning shot, and he shot and missed, and it was actually a pretty bad miss. Was it Golden State?
Yeah, it was the first time at home against Golden State when we had him on the ropes. Steph Curry hit like that stupid pull up three in Derek Favors' face to put him up two, I think. And Rodney took I know Quinn Snyder defended him post game, but it was a pretty bad shot. It wasn't a very good shot selection, or it wasn't very good shot selection, but yeah, he missed that. And so we lost that game.
And it was actually, I think it was it to tie the game or was it to win the game? I can't remember.
That would have won the game.
I would have won the game.
Want to believe. Yeah.
And you could tell that when he missed it, you could tell he was pretty bummed about it. And he even said in an interview, you know, like that he just has to improve and learn from the mistake. And I think it was like two or three games later, he actually came back and drilled. It was either a shot to put him up in the crunch or it was a shot to win the game, something like that. And it was just good to see that confidence that he gained. I mean, he wasn't going to stop shooting or stray away from those moments. He actually kind of goes and he wants the ball in those moments. And you could kind of see that grow and build as it went out through the year. And I think this third season, I think he's going to be more aggressive, and he's going to look for that opportunity to get the ball late and to be kind of that offensive guy that you want the ball in his hands when it's in the crunch. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And I think we need to explain Drew's love obsession with Rodney Hood. If anybody has any connections with Rodney Hood, Drew Thomas would love to take Rodney out on a date. I know he just had kids. But Drew was in Boston doing an internship when Rodney Hood got drafted, And I have never heard that dude more excited, like, ever about anything.
No,
it was, it was a fun night to be a Jazz fan. And I think Jazz fans are just continually seeing, like, we got this dude at what, 23?
Yeah, 23.
That is
such a joke, dude. Such a joke. James Young went at like 17, and that fool's still in the summer league, dude.
Does that show, is that luck? Is that other NBA GMs just being incompetent? What is that? How does Rodney Hood fall to 23? I get Rudy falling to 27 because there was just some concerns and he's raw. I kind of can get that. But Rodney Hood?
I think I can go into my, like, I can go into detail about my obsession with Rodney Hood. But just from what I watched,
this predates his time with the Jazz.
The problem was,
like, this goes back to his Duke years for
the
Drew.
Problem was with the fourth Duke, dude. But the problem was, is Jabari Parker was a Duke. And I don't know if when people went to Duke and they're like, oh yeah, there's this, what was he, like 21 when he got drafted, something like that. Like he was an older guy.
No. He was
no Rodney.
Oh, Rodney. Yeah.
Rodney was,
he was a couple years older because he went to Mississippi State, transferred, and then played at Duke.
I think he was a junior. But you know, he was kind of like, oh yeah, that Rodney guy's pretty good, but oh my gosh, look at this Jabari Parker. He's the next LeBron James. Like, everyone was freaking out about it, dude. Every single time I watched Duke, I couldn't help but not watch Rodney Hood, man. But I think the hype train kind of hurt his prospect a little bit, getting going into the draft where people were like, dude, Jabari Parker's so good. Oh, and then there's that Rodney Hood guy. I mean, he's decent, whatever, but Jabari Parker. And so I think that's part of the problem, is that Jabari had so much hype and he was such a star in college and everyone was so in love with and enamored with Jabari that people kind of forgot to look at Hood.
But the thing is like I was saying, so that points to just sheer absolute insanity and incompetence in NBA general managers' positions, because everybody knew he was going one or two. So you, like, the later round guys or the even later lottery guys shouldn't have been watching them. They should have been watching guys like Rodney Hood.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. I think part of the problem was he was, so when he got drafted, he was 21 years old when he got drafted. And everyone's so focused on, I mean, when you're in college and you're 21, it's like, oh man, that guy's old. He's peaked. He's not gonna be able to come into the league and progress at all. You know what I mean? But I mean, dude, you go through who got drafted before him? Caboclo, that guy at Caboclo from that went dude to Toronto.
Dudes you've never heard of have and probably never will hear about.
TJ Warren got drafted before Rodney Hood. Who else, dude? Gary Harris, the guy in Denver, he got drafted before Rodney, man. And
I mean,
some of those dudes are still in the summer league. And Rodney was at the Utah Jazz summer league eating popcorn with his girl and his kid, watching the summer league. It's like, oh yeah, I remember when that guy got drafted before me. Such garbage, dude.
You know what though? I mean, maybe it's just his game. His game isn't flashy. It's not.
No.
It's not anything that jumps off at you off the page, unless you like basketball like we do. But like, the casual fan isn't going to watch a game and go, oh yeah, that Rodney Hood guy, like, he really jumped off the screen at me. So I mean,
that's the thing.
That's the rest of the league's problem, and that's another reason the Jazz are just incredible shape.
I mean, he's not incredibly athletic. I mean, but the guy can play basketball, and he's a smart basketball player, and he understands how to position himself with his body, and that's the problem, dude. Is if you go back and you watch those Duke years, the consistent guy and kind of the quiet leader was Rodney Hood. Everyone was so fixated on Jabari, who would have like inconsistent nights. Rodney was the dude who would consistently just play great. Mm-hmm. But it just got overshadowed by the hype that was Jabari Parker.
Yeah. But it's, you know, like I said, that's everybody else is pain, our gain. because Dennis Lindsay recognized that talent and just absolutely stole him at the 23rd pick. And I agree with you. I think this year is going to be a big year for Rodney Hood. We've seen the flash. We've seen the potential. I think this is the year we kind of see what he's going to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's really, I mean, it's really his like second and a half year because of the injuries his rookie year, but still third year in the league. I think that's usually about where you can see kind of where a player is trending and where they're going. Except for like, you know, the mega stars that come in and blow up right away. But I think the more normal progression is about the third year. You can really start to see what a player is going to be. I think he's going to play pretty much the same way. I hope he finds a way to to get more inside, to get to the rim a bit more. I think that's the one piece of his game that's really missing other than being, you know, just more consistent. Because you're right. Like when he knows how to position his body, is there another player in the league besides like James Harden who just throws himself into people and gets calls? Dude. But is there another player in the league that like comes off this pick and roll and just shields you away and there's absolutely nothing you can do?
I love that move he does where he sticks his butt right into him.
Yeah. He just comes off the pick and they go over the pick because they can't go under or else he's just going to shoot that 10-foot jumper. They go over the pick and he just sits there with his butt out and they can't get around him. Yep. And so he just walks right towards the rim and he's either going to dump it off to Rudy for a hammer dunk or he's just going to shoot a little 6-foot floater.
Dude, it's so pretty, dude. And no one can defend it.
No, I mean, you can't.
That has to be like
the most frustrating thing in the world for defenders, right?
You know, that's in like the scouting reports for teams be like, all right, when Rodney Hood comes off the pick, he's going to stick his butt in your gut and he's going to put his arm out and it's going to be frustrating as hell. So you need to figure out a way to somehow make it so that doesn't happen.
And the only way to really defend it is to either trap off the screen or to switch. And if you switch, that's not going to work out well for you. So, I mean, the trap, I guess, but then, you know, he's proven to be a pretty heady player. And
see, that's the thing, dude, is he just knows how to play, dude. He's so smart, man. He has such a good IQ offensively that it's like, dude, you should not have gone 23 in the draft, bro.
No, it's incredible to me. And I think, like you touched on, the reason I think his shooting percentage was so weird, like you say 42%, but his game this last year was so strange because he would have a month where he was awful and couldn't hit anything and then would score 20
or he was
for like out. 5 nights in a row or like 20 to 30, 5 nights in a row. It was pretty, it was a weird year. So I hope this is the year that he can kind of figure it out to be a bit more consistent. And if he can, I could easily see him up there with Gordon around, you know, 18, 19, 20 points a game, which would be huge for the Jazz.
The thing that I like is I'm looking at his numbers now. OKC, let's see, where are we at?
What was his season high? I want to say he had the season high for the Jazz. He had like 36 in a game, I think.
Let's see. There's 32. I'm seeing 32.
32? Oh, okay. Then probably Gordy had it.
Yeah, I'm seeing 32, but that's the thing. Like at OKC, he put up 23 points. Like that's solid, dude.
There was one month in the year where he was the best player on the. Well, I mean, minus Gordy, because Gordy is who he is, and I feel like we've kind of been spoiled by who he is, because he's just so good at everything. But he was the best, I feel, offensive player for a solid month.
I want to say was it like
I think it was during January? That 7-game win streak, right? Right before the All-Star break?
Let's see, 23, 25, 29. Yeah, it looks like that. So probably – but, I mean, that's also against Phoenix, New Orleans. Boston, he didn't do too hot. But he that's the thing, dude. It was his second year in the league, and you're going to have those kinks that you have to work out. You know what I mean? And yet, you still need to get that confidence. I mean, you're still – I mean, just kind of learning the game. And I think he did awesome, dude. And I think he's only going to get better.
Yeah. I think the arrow is definitely trending upwards for Rodney. And, you know, dare I say he might be, like, depending on what Rodney can do, he might be the most important player on the Jazz starting five. Because when you think about it, we know what George Hill is. George Hill's really, really, really good. We know what Gordy is pretty much at this point. You know what Favors is. And you can, I mean, Rudy's got room to grow, but you kind of know what he's going to be. Rodney, I mean, if he's a 14, 15 point a night guy, he's a good player. I think he's a better player than that. So his ceiling is kind of, I mean, him and Trey are the guys I feel whose ceiling we don't really know what that could be.
Dude, Trey.
I mean, that's awesome.
Trey is one dirty dog, dude.
He is.
Trey Lyles? Man, dude. Trey Lyles, man. That guy, he's going to be good.
Drew, calm down. You're getting really excited about Trey Lyles.
Dude. The Jazz are going to be good, all right?
Yes.
They're going to be good. And when you have all those options, then when you have all that option and all that threat to score now that we have with George Hill, with Joe Johnson, with Rodney, with Gordy, with Burks, he's going to be back and healthy. When you have all those options, dude, we are going to be so hard for teams to defend.
Yes, we will. I mean, and we'll get to that in 1 second, but let's not get sidetracked too bad because it's late and we want to stay focused a little bit. Yeah, we've gone over Rodney. Now let's go to one last thing on Rodney. I think it's really cool that he got to go spend time with Team USA and be in that environment, be around his old coach, to see how those guys work, see how those guys practice. And I think that'll be a good experience for him. I hope he finds a way to kind of keep that momentum going into next year. But let's move over to the Frenchman, Rudy Gobert. Rudy, as we talked about last time, is going to play in the Olympics. Who knows if they stay at the Athletes Village or whatever it is, Olympic Village, because there's literally raw sewage coming through the walls. So who knows where they're going to stay. But a cool thing that the Utah Jazz did, I don't know if you have heard about this, but they actually sent staff members with Rudy to help him throughout this Olympics. I don't know if it was throughout the Olympics or just to France. I'm pretty sure it'd be during the entire competition. Let's see.
They provided an entourage.
During Olympic. Yeah. So they sent a Jazz entourage with Rudy, and who coincidentally plays with Boris Diaw. So Boris will get to spend some time with them as well. The Jazz are sending, let's see, Alex Jensen, strength and conditioning coach Isaiah Wright, massage therapist Doug Burrell, to go with those guys through the Olympic journey and, you know, really kind of help them along their way. Obviously, the Jazz care very much about not only their success, but their investment. So what do you think about the Jazz move to send supporting staff with Rudy and also with Boris?
I think that it shows that they care, mostly that they, it's an investment. Actually, that's the biggest thing. I want to say that it's kind of just like an insurance move, you know, that you got one of your youngest and most promising players that's going to be playing in the Olympics. You want someone there to kind of just be there to monitor every move that's happening and to make sure that he is getting the best care possible. You know, I kind of have the same opinion on it all that Mark Cuban has, where it's like, these guys are your investments and you're putting a lot of money and time and work into these guys. You got to make sure that they're going to be okay. And so I'm just glad that the Jazz understand that risk and that there's not really much you can do to prevent it if anything does happen, but they're kind
setting
up the parameters in case something does happen. so they can at least mediate it if anything does happen.
No, of course,
so
absolutely.
I think it's a good move, and it just makes me happy to know that Boris is going to be there with Rudy, because I know they're like good friends, I know they're buddies, and then to be able to kind of already start that chemistry with three staff members there, I mean, it's just kind of getting everything started off on the right foot.
No, I agree. I like the move quite a bit. I absolutely think it's more of an investment move, but it's a very nice gesture, I think, also to Rudy, to really let him know that the Jazz care. They care about him. They care about his health. They want him to succeed, and they're going to give him all the tools to do that.
Yeah, rather than kind of like putting up a wall and saying, no, you're not going to play in the Olympics, we don't want you to play in the Olympics, I was saying, all right, it's your choice, it's your decision, we're going to make sure that you know that we're supporting you and that mm-hmm. we're kind of giving you a lot of support.
No, yeah, absolutely. I also think it's important for the Jazz to do this, especially with Rudy, because he is eligible for extension. The Jazz and Rudy Gobert, they've put it off until after the Olympics to kind of reopen negotiations. And from everything I'm reading, I mean, the Jazz are gonna re-sign Rudy. I mean, that's, you know, they're not gonna let Rudy go. They're gonna re-sign Rudy. So Jazz fans don't need to worry about that. The interesting thing to me is, from everything I've read, because of this just weird cap situation with the cap going up so much, if the Jazz re-sign Rudy this year, they lose a ton, like a ton. I think I heard on David Locke's show, it's like the highest cap hold / money hold as far as re-signing somebody and that money transferring over to next year. It's like the biggest ever in history, in the history of the league. And so that's not really something the Jazz usually are all about. Dennis Lindsay's MO is always having flexibility and always having options. And so if they were to do that this year, Rudy would be happy and that would be great for him, I think, but it's not a team friendly thing. And so that's something that the Jazz haven't done in a very long time, since pretty much AK. So it'll be interesting to see if they make that happen. I mean, personally, as a fan, I just get it done. You know, I mean, make him happy. We know he's going to be here in the future. Yeah, it might not be the best cap management, but what are you planning on spending your money on? You're planning at the moment, you're planning on spending your money on your own players. So you might as well just get started right now.
Yeah. I mean, you're eventually going to do it anyways. Might as well just get it done. And who knows? I mean, Rudy, I think Rudy likes it in Utah. And
he wants to play here.
He
doesn't want to go anywhere. He likes it.
He's kind of like an ambassador almost for the Jazz, you know, kind of calling out to people on Twitter, telling him to come play for the Jazz and stuff. And so, you know, I think that he'll be willing to kind of flex a little bit and bend a little bit when it comes to negotiations. Just because of, I feel like the dude's dedicated to the team and he's loyal to the team. And I mean, he'll probably take some of that into consideration, might not want to completely just kind of take the Jazz for all they're worth and still be able to work with them to where he's getting his own, but still the Jazz aren't pressed up against the wall.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if there's a way they can work the deal, but I mean, he's going to get a max deal, no matter what. The Jazz are going to max him out. So it'd just be interesting to see if they could work the contract to be a bit more team friendly with, at the same time, you know, getting him what he's due. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and not just with Rudy, but with Derek Favors, George Hill, guys, I'm sure they would be very interested in extending and re-signing. But from what I've heard, I mean, Favors is due a massive, massive pay bump. He's severely underpaid as it is. So some interesting salary decisions coming up for the Jazz. But in Dennis Lindsay, we trust. So moving on, we can go into pretty much – I mean, it's a terrible segue, but let's just do it. So the hype on the Jazz is real. It's very, very real. It has moved from – Utah and is spread quite literally across the NBA world. There's plenty of very well-respected writers and reporters who have the Jazz finishing not on top of the Western Conference, but the top half. There's many that are saying the Jazz are going to get fourth. I think fourth and fifth is probably the favorite of people to say right now. I have personally thrown it out there that the Jazz are going to get the three seed. But the hype is real. It's exciting. I think the buzz around Utah has not been this way for a very, very long time. Now the question is on paper, the Jazz have done the job. Now the Jazz has just got to do it in real life. So Drew, what do you think they got to do? How do we make this fantasy team, if you will, turn into the real team and produce on the court?
I think a big deal about it is chemistry, for sure. We have the pieces, we have the players to do it. When it comes down to it, it's going to be injuries and it's going to be chemistry. And if guys' egos get too big for the betterment of the team, you saw it with Enes Kanter, dude. The guy, like, everything, Enes Kanter's thing was so weird, dude. Like, he was talking about how much he loved Utah and how much he loved the Jazz and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, I want out. I hate the Jazz.
How much of that do you think was just fake, though? Putting on a face? You remember when he came to the Jazz. He was on Twitter. He was entertaining, man.
Yeah.
I personally was eating it up. I thought it was really cool. And you know Jazz management shut that down, and that was kind of annoying. So how much of that do you think was actually legit?
No, dude, I think – no. Enes liked it here, dude. Enes liked it here, and he liked the players. Like, they were all buddy-buddy. His biggest beef was, yeah, Ty Corbin was an idiot and played dudes who shouldn't have been playing. Kanter did deserve more time, but his biggest problem was Rudy Gobert coming out of nowhere and surfacing as this absolute beast who was taking up his minutes and eating his minutes. And the guy was too full of himself to say, hey, you know what? This guy is good. I'm gonna have to take a cut in minutes, to where he just decided to completely go the other direction and blow it all up and say how much he hated here. And that's the thing, is he had that ego. And Dennis Lindsay, dude, they got rid of him, man. And they're like, you know what? They didn't get much for him. They got what they could out of him. But they're like, you know what? If you're going to be like that, peace. And that's my biggest worry. Actually, no, I'm not worried about it.
I was about to say, do you think there's guys like that on this team as it is?
I thought that Trey Burke was going to be – I would have – if you asked me 2 years ago or maybe 2.5 years ago who was going to be the malcontent, I would have told you Trey Burke. But it was actually the complete opposite. Trey was a complete stud.
A total pro.
With what he
total,
was facing.
Total pro.
He honestly was the only one where I thought – and actually Alec Burks probably 3 to 4 years ago, I thought he was going to end up being a malcontent during the Ty Corbin days, because you could tell on the bench that he the wind was just out of his sails. But it's because
he wasn't on the floor. Like how can you blame the guy for being pissed off if he's not playing?
Exactly. I think these dudes just want to play, and they can buy into the team concept. And I think you have the perfect coach to kind of rally people together and create that kind of college feel. That we're doing it for the team. We're not doing it for ourselves. I think Quinn's the best guy to do that. You just got to get them to buy into the system. And I think we're okay. Unless we get struck by the injury bug, and then it's just a whole other story. But yeah, dude, for me, it's chemistry and injuries. And you know what? You can't go through a season without injury. It's going to happen. People are going to get hurt. But we got it pretty hard last year.
No, it wasn't pretty hard. It was unbelievable.
And
the amount of injuries we had. We at a time, like, Gordon Hayward was like the only healthy person. And it was Gordon Hayward, Rodney Hood, and a bunch of D-League guys.
See, that's the thing. Now we have the supporting cast to where if one or two guys get hurt, we'll be able to kind of step in. Maybe the center position is going to be hurting a little bit, but I like Withy. I think he'll be a solid. I'm not too worried about it.
I am not worried about it.
But I think
about it this way. If Rudy gets hurt, you can slide Derek over and start Trey. If Derek gets hurt, you start Trey. If Gordy somehow gets hurt, because Gordon Hayward doesn't get enough credit for being healthy, as healthy as he's been. But if Gordy gets hurt, you start Joe Johnson. Rodney gets hurt, you probably start Joe Johnson or Alec Burks. You know, it's
you yeah, don't, that's what I'm saying. Is
yeah, the Jazz are built now to deal where with that.
We can take those injuries and we're not starting what was his name? Elijah Millsap, you know, where Elijah Millsap is getting like 23 minutes a game or 24 minutes, or your boy Chris Johnson is coming in and having to be this sixth man off the bench or the sixth man on the court. It's just, we have the people to back up in case there's injuries. So I'm not as worried about it, but when it comes down to it, it's just going to be chemistry and injuries, because the talent's there, the potential and the talent is there. It's just egos, dude.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the Jazz pretty much have the chemistry down, because yes, the Jazz have done quite a bit in the offseason, but I mean, you're only adding what, four new players? So no, three new players. The rest of the guys have played together for quite a while now.
And the thing is you're not just adding like three guys that are coming off their rookie contracts.
No, they're pros.
They're vets who have been in the league, who have made that transition to other teams, and they're going to be able to step in and catch on more quickly than compared to a dude who's coming off a rookie contract that got traded or picked up in free agency, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I completely agree. I think it's going to be chemistry. It's going to be, can guys buy into their role? And from everything we've heard, that's the case. Like, Joe Johnson knows what he's coming here for. He signed up for it. He said as much. He said, I've done this part of my career. I'm transitioning to this part of my career. And he's fine with that. And I think that could be huge to have somebody like that in that kind of role. George Hill, we've seen as a leader, he carried Indiana when Paul George was out, and he's now going to be in a similar situation where he's going to be appreciated this time, because they didn't really appreciate him in Indiana for some weird reason. And then you're asking Boris Diaw to do pretty much the exact same thing he was doing in San Antonio. So the only real conflict, I mean, I guess I could maybe see is, do you think Trey Lyles starts to want more? Because that dude is good. He's really, really good.
Yeah. That's gonna be an issue when you have
– that's the one Lyles hiccup I see. And, you know, that could be a problem, or it could be an incredible luxury that the Jazz have. If both players, him and Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert, I guess you could say three players. If those guys, you know, really buy in and really, you know, want the team success over the individual success, because they're gonna find a way for him to play.
Mm-hmm.
Just the question is how, like, you know, whoever finishes games, if is that gonna bother people? I don't really see that. And Derek, it's already kind of happened to Rudy, where just in certain situations he has to be off the floor if a team goes maybe smaller. So I guess it's on Trey, because the other two guys have shown that they can kind of handle it as pros.
Yeah.
Because Trey's what, 20?
20, yeah.
20 years old. He's still, you know, growing up. And he's good, and he knows it. He knew he was the best player in summer league. So
The guy's not going to be 21 until November.
That's so stupid. I mean, didn't I think Dante just turned 21.
Yeah, he just barely had his birthday. It's insane, dude.
I know, right? And I think that kid has got a really good head on his shoulders. I think he's got really close friends in the locker room. I think it's amazing to have guys like Joe Ingles there, you know, those glue guys. Because I think every one of my favorite interviews from the Jazz in the last like 2 years has had Joe Ingles in it. And I think he might have a say in, you know, in kind of helping the team gel together. Guys like Boris Diaw. Boris Diaw is kind of a character. You touched on this last podcast. I think those kind of guys are guys, and especially Boris Diaw coming from San Antonio.
Yeah.
Being such a, you know, like a team guy. I think those are guys that can, you know, talk to people and be like, hey, this is your role. We need you to do this kind of a thing. This is how we win.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the hiccup I saw, but I think you're right. I think Quinn Snyder's the guy for the job. I think the team's been constructed as good as it can be, honestly. I mean, there's not really a glaring weakness on the team anymore. Whereas before there was obvious weaknesses. Now I am having a tough time seeing one. I mean, if Jeff Withey is your weakest link.
Yep.
And I like Jeff Withey. I think he's a perfectly serviceable player. So
yeah, dude.
The Jazz are just insanely solid.
To all the Jazz fans who have been saying, the Jazz always suck. It's not like the Stockton and Malone days. It will never return to greatness, blah, blah, blah. The people
George Hill sucks, man.
Yeah, George Hill is garbage. To all those people that just feel like that have been, I mean, I understand it's kind of been rough.
Why didn't you go sign Kevin Durant?
You can't have the days that you had with Stockton and Malone. Those were awesome days. But it's getting better. So drop the negativity and just buy your season tickets.
Happy birthday last week to Karl Malone.
Buy your season tickets right now, dude, because they're going to be expensive in the 2017-2018 season. I tell you that right now, dude. This team is solid, and it's going to be fun, dude. I am so stoked. And you know what? I want to buy season tickets. Do you think?
Let's make it happen.
Let's do it. We're doing it.
Let's just make it happen.
We're splurging, dude. And we're going right now and we're buying season tickets. Cause you know what? The Jazz are going to be good.
And I got a hookup now.
Oh, nice.
Maybe he can get us a deal. I don't know.
We'll have to figure something out, but drop the negativity. If you haven't watched a Jazz game in 2 years and you're saying the Jazz suck, go watch two or three games from last year, preferably when the Jazz were at least somewhat at their full numbers.
Watch the 7-game win streak.
And tell me that that team is not going to be fun to watch this year when they're at full strength. If you haven't watched the Jazz in 2 to 3 years, and you're probably not listening to this podcast if you haven't, you can't say the Jazz suck anymore. You can't say that. When you say that, I'm just going to look at you and think you are an imbecile. That's all I'm going to think. A dude said that to me at work. I was at work and he's like, dude, the Jazz are always bad. They're never good. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, name three people on the Jazz right now.
Gordon Hayward.
All right, who else?
Rudy Gobert.
It doesn't matter. When Gordon Hayward's your best player, that kid's a squawny little white kid. All right, you haven't watched the Jazz in the past 2 years, so you need to go watch the Jazz and then come back to me and tell me that the Jazz aren't going to be good, and then I'll listen to you.
When are we calling all aboard on the Jazz hype train?
We'll have to go until we get into the season a little bit.
No, opening day, right?
No, because like
Do you have to allow time for other people to take notice?
Yeah, like you can't. I mean, you're gonna have your early adopters, but you need to have your people that you still got to give a little bit of leeway to people who are like, What's that? The early majority, right?
What is that? You just used a term from it. What is that like tree called? You have your early adopters.
You have your innovators.
Your early adopters,
and your early majority. We got to let the early majority.
Okay.
The people who are like 15 games in are like, oh shit, this team is pretty good.
Yeah, the guys who have league pass and stumble across a Jazz game and fall in love. Okay.
And that's when you close the gates. Around like game 15 or 20, you're like, all right, gates are closed. The train's out. No more Jazz fans.
Hey, shout out to Ryan Russillo because he's been on the Jazz hype train for a year.
I like Russillo. He's a good guy.
He is. He knows his stuff. But all right, we'll figure out a day. I'm intrigued what the listeners think. When do you think the cutoff is? When is the final or when's last call for the Jazz hype train / bandwagon? At what point do we have to cut it off and start saying, okay, now you're just a bandwagon fan?
Yep. You got to set it up, dude. I mean, I understand a fan's a fan, but I mean, when someone's as dedicated as we are and is in love with the Jazz as we are, and we've been waiting for so long for the Jazz to return to form, I'm going to have some issues with people jumping on after we're past All-Star break and the Jazz are like, what, in the fourth seed? And everyone's like, oh, I like the Jazz now. Oh, yeah, man. Rudy Gobert, he's the best player. And that's what I'm like.
Rudy Gobert is so good.
All right, dude. Don't talk to me. I love Rudy Hood. Don't talk to me, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Oh, man. Anything else we need to talk about? Because I'm super excited. But we're, like we said at the beginning of the show, we're entering the dead zone. There's not going to be a lot happening. So, I mean, it's already been over a week since our last podcast. I don't know when we're going to be back on the air because there's just not a lot to talk about. But if you have anything you'd like us to talk about, please let us know in the comments. You can like us on Facebook. Let us know there. There's an All That Jazz Facebook page. You can check us out on Audio Boom, iTunes. We're on TuneIn and Stitcher Radio. So we're kind of trying to make it as convenient as possible to listen to us. So you can check us out there. Please rate highly of us. Or if you don't, then just let us know why. We are really wanting to improve. You can let us know in the comments on Facebook. You can shoot me an email. I will always have that in the description of the podcast, so you can shoot me an email there. BrianGonzalez21@gmail.com. So, yeah. Please let us know if there's anything we can do to improve. That would be very helpful. And a 5-star would, you know, I'd give you a crisp high five. Drew, do you have anything else? I don't think I have anything. Drew might be gone. I think Drew bugged out. I'm just talking to myself and you now. So, for Drew Thomas, myself, Brian Gonzalez, we will catch you all next time. Thank you so much for listening. This has been All That Jazz.